And now it's time for our regular feature, the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Today marks 25 years since doctors first described what's come to be known as AIDS. In Sunday's New York Times, Jonathan Rauch, a senior writer for National Journal magazine, argued that the movement for same-sex marriage was a byproduct of the devastating impact of AIDS on the gay community. As it happens, the United States Senate today opened debate on a constitutional amendment to define marriage as between one man and one woman. We're going to hear from Jonathan Rauch and from Joseph Nippenberg, a columnist for the American Enterprise Online, who recently wrote in favor of a constitutional marriage amendment. And, of course, we want to hear from you as well. If you have questions about the genesis of the gay marriage movement or the politics of the proposed constitutional amendment, call us, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. Jonathan Rauch is also a guest scholar at the Brookings Institution, and he joins us now from the studios at the Brookings Institution here in Washington. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Neil. It's great to be here.
You argue that originally the gay community had little interest in promoting gay marriage.
Yeah, you know, people often say to me, where the heck did this come from out of the blue? Well, the first lawsuit to try to get gay marriage was in 1970, a long time ago. And, of course, it was turned down by the courts. But in those days, the gay community wasn't too interested in marriage. It just didn't seem too relevant. People in those days thought they were being countercultural and kind of in the vanguard of a sexual liberation. What really changed was when AIDS came along, and we suddenly discovered that in many cases we were each other's families, but we didn't have the tools that families need to take care of each other. And that's everything from being able to get in the hospital room, no questions asked, to secure bequests, to not losing your apartment when your partner dies, to Social Security survivor benefits, to the fact that without marriage, you often can't even get your partner into the country. You know, you marry someone, they become a citizen, but just try that if you're not married. And that really changed the mindset of gay America, understanding that marriage is how you form a family and it's how you care for somebody.
And that AIDS, in its awful way, helped transform gay couples into families.
Yeah, absolutely. You had these couples all over the country, and not just couples, but buddies and friends who were performing the duties of marriage at its most difficult, you know, the end of life, the horrible stage when you're carrying the emaciated body upstairs and spoon-feeding the baby food and, you know, wiping up the vomit and doing all these things. Yet in the eyes of the law, these were unrelated individuals. They were strangers to each other. They had no status at all. People felt that as a deep injustice, but they also discovered that gay people, too, have a need for family and community, and that's what marriage does. It ties you to each other and to your community.
As the Senate begins debate, the president was also speaking about same-sex marriage and the constitutional amendment just a little while ago. Wouldn't some of the practical problems that you were talking about be resolved by civil union?
Well, a lot of them would, yeah, and civil unions are a whole lot better than nothing. There's no question about that. But, you know, marriage is the real deal. Marriage is the one kind of relationship in America or the world that you never have to explain. When you say to somebody, we're married, everybody knows what duties you've undertaken. And that's, you know, that's an important part of being married, the fact that people expect you to look after each other. They ask you, how's your husband? How's your wife at work? That's their way of saying, we expect you to act married, and that's what helps fortify couples. So I think marriage is better policy for the community as well as being on its own terms more equal.
Mm-hmm. Joseph Nippenberg joins us now, professor of politics at Oglethorpe University in Atlanta, Georgia. He writes a weekly column for the American Enterprise Online. He's with us from his office in Atlanta. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
As the Senate takes up this issue, why do you think that the marriage amendment to the Constitution, obviously amending the Constitution, not easy by design and a drastic step, but why do you think that's necessary or a good idea?
Well, I do think that marriage as a social institution is above all for the rearing and raising of children. And I was interested to listen to Mr. Rauch, and he made no mention of children in the context of marriage. I appreciate everything he says about the importance of caregiving at the end of life and the way in which love comes with duties and responsibilities as well as just a matter of choice. But I do think that we need to send a message about the importance of marriage and the importance of children.
There are many gay couples who have children either from one of the people's marriages or by adoption.
I'm aware of I do think that we might want to think about ways in which they can be offered opportunities and means to protect their children and their relationships so that the children can benefit from it. But I don't know that we need to call them marriage. I'm more inclined to say that that's a very good case for civil unions.
And would you be in favor of civil unions?
I don't know. I would have to see what the effect of civil unions would be on marriage.
Let's get to the politics of this issue as well. Joseph Knippenberg, as this debate begins in the Senate, I've not read of any political analyst who believes that those in favor of the constitutional amendment are anywhere close to the 67 votes, the two-thirds of the United States Senate they would need.
No, I'm aware of the same analysis that you are. I think it's very unlikely that it will pass the Senate. On the other hand, I don't think that we should overlook the opportunity to make the case once again for the importance of marriage, the importance of responsibilities, and the importance of the traditional family.
Jonathan Rauch, the president today called for an open debate on this question, said it'd be good for all sides.
I think the debate is good for all sides. I'm happy to see it go on. This is an important issue, and there's no way you're going to keep it out of Congress. I think that the right answer, though, is to let the states handle this issue as the states should be allowed to handle abortion. There is no reason for the federal government to step in and say no state should ever be able to try gay marriage. California's legislature, not the courts, House and Senate of California this past year passed gay marriage. If not for a veto by Arnold Schwarzenegger, that would have been law. I don't think it's the federal government's business to say one size fits all, 40% of Americans favor gay marriage, but we can't even try it in a single state, even if the people there do want to. With this kind of intensely divisive moral issue, it's very important that you let states go their different ways, and that's what our federalist system is best at.
Joseph Knippenberg, what about the idea of letting the states do this?
Well, I'd be very happy to let the states go their ways and let state legislatures decide matters, but I'm not as convinced as Mr. Rauch is and some other advocates of gay marriage that the judiciary will ultimately let the states go their ways. And I'm speaking here of the federal judiciary. I think a number of the arguments are already in place that would justify a Supreme Court decision saying that there's a right to marriage regardless of your sexual orientation.
That after the appointment of two conservatives to the United States Supreme Court. We don't specifically know their opinions on this issue, but there are, again, few who think they would be leaning that way.
Well, the majority opinion in Lawrence v. Texas was authored by Anthony Kennedy, who's often regarded as a conservative.
Oh, that's the sodomy case.
That's the sodomy case. And there is a line of argument in that case that speaks of autonomy and the right to define marriage for oneself. I don't think that the Supreme Court will tomorrow or next year necessarily hand down a decision vindicating gay marriage. Obviously, the cases would have to work their way up to the Supreme Court, and they're mm-hmm. not anywhere near there yet. But I'm not as convinced as Mr. Rauch is that there's a majority on the Supreme Court against gay marriage.
All right. Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. And again, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255 and email talk@npr.org. David is calling. David from St. Louis, Missouri.
Thanks, Neil. I'm troubled by the premise of the president's position against gay marriage that seems to consider gay couples as if they already exist as distinct or separate from heterosexual married families. I have to say, you know, we gay couples, we're already in the heterosexual marriage household, either as children of heterosexuals or siblings, and increasingly as parents of heterosexual children. And so the concern that gay marriage pose some sort of threat to children or other members of the heterosexual family, I think it just ignores the reality. And in fact, that fact was documented at the beginning of the Massachusetts court case about gay marriage, which noted that many of the couples who sued for the right had, as part of their family background, been caring for heterosexual parents. And one other just quick note, I'm very concerned, although you say the president thinks a good debate would be open, the timing with which he's done this is particularly insulting.
On the 25th anniversary of AIDS, yes.
Many people who were caring for people who were dying due to apathy and prejudice. So his statement that, oh, a good civil debate, this would be good for us, who in the White House doesn't understand this was an incendiary time to pose the question?
Joseph Nippenberg, let me ask you about that. It's obviously the president spoke on Saturday in his radio address, and his speech today did come as the Senate opened debate on the question. But as David points out, it does come on a day that's sensitive for a lot of people.
Well, I think that's a question to take up with leadership in the Senate and with Senator Spector, whose committee reported it out and who said he was going to vote against it on the floor. I don't defend the particular timing. I think any time is a good time to have a discussion about important questions for the health and future of the nation.
Mm-hmm. David, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Here's an email we've got from Andrew. I'm a married heterosexual. I couldn't be more in favor of gay marriage. However, I'm frustrated that the push in favor of it ended up giving such a powerful weapon to our opponents and probably tipping the 2004 presidential election. If the push last year had instead been for civil unions with the same legal rights as marriage, opposition to it would have been so much less vehement that we'd have those rights now. And unions called marriage in name would follow soon thereafter, sooner than we'll have them now, to be sure. Jonathan Rauch?
Well, I think that may well be true. There is no good time for a civil rights movement when you've got a minority that's pushing the envelope. I think that the Massachusetts Supreme Court should have allowed civil unions as an alternative. I think they pushed too hard, too fast, and got too far in front of the American public. So I think there's a lot to what this email says. But on the other hand, remember why this is happening. It's a free country. There are lots of lawsuits out there. No one's in control of this issue, and we just have to deal with it on the schedule it comes up with.
We're talking with Jonathan Rauch, a senior writer for National Journal and author of the book Gay Marriage, Why It's Good for Gays, Good for Straights, and Good for America, and with Joseph Nippenberg, a professor of politics at Oglethorpe University in Atlanta and a weekly columnist for the American Enterprise Online and a contributing blogger at No Left Turns. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Kyle on the line. Kyle calling from Salt Lake City.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Mike, concern is on the legalization of gay marriage is when you define marriage as something different than one man and one woman, where does it stop? You have gay marriage, and then that could go to bigamy and polygamy and marriages with incestuous partners. I'm just not sure where it ends. And if you don't think some other description of marriage doesn't hurt children, recent news in southern Utah and northern Arizona on the polygamist communities down there, how all those kids have just been neglected, abused, other problems that they're facing. So I don't know where it ends if you legalize gay marriage.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you both about that question. Jonathan Rauch first.
Well, Kyle has answered his own question. What we know about polygamy is that it actually takes the opportunity to marry away from people who already have it. It means you leave some people out of marriage because polygamy almost invariably means one man, many wives, and that means some other man gets no wife. Gay marriage is a step, of course, in the opposite direction. It allows people who are now not allowed to marry to get married. It extends marriage. So these things go in opposite directions. And I think that's a distinction that Americans will have no trouble following. And the second point is that we're talking about equality of situation here. And when it's legal for heterosexuals to marry two people or their mother or a dog or a toaster, then gay people also should have the right to marry two people or their mother or a dog or a toaster. But all we're asking for is what heterosexuals have, which is the ability to choose one other person who we love and who we care about and marry them.
Joseph Nippenberg, would gay marriage be the top of the slippery slope?
Well, I understand Mr. Rauch's policy argument against polygamy, and I think I agree with it. I just wonder whether there isn't also a policy argument against gay marriage that ought to be given some weight. It is an enormous social experiment, and the question is whether we, as a matter of constitutional right, ought to engage in that social experiment. I would agree with him that at the very least, if anyone's going to do any experimenting, it has to be the legislators who are answerable to the voters. We weren't given that choice in Massachusetts. We may not be given that choice in some other states. And as I said, I'm very concerned that we may not be given that choice at the national level at some point in the future by the Supreme Court.
Okay. Kyle, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And let's see if we can get one final call in here. This is Michael. Michael calling from Watertown, New York.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate you letting me in.
Yeah, go ahead.
My question is pretty much not directed at your panel or you, but at my government officials that may be listening. I'm just wondering why they're wasting their time debating a private relationship issue that is set in a religious context. That's the fundamental issue that they're talking about. It's the my God, your God, and who's got the right to say who gets to do what in a political forum. This is a debate that you know, religious leaders and atheists should be having, not my government and the people that want to have relationships and have binding contracts that have emotional meaning. The government wants to have a political meaning in something that is none of their business. They're in the people's bedrooms again. I'm heterosexual. I've been married 13 years, and I have four wonderful children. So it's not an issue that affects me. Nobody in my family is gay.
Yeah.
But I just look at it as ridiculous that they feel the need to be involved.
And quickly, reactions from Joseph Nippenberg first.
Well, I don't think it's simply a religious issue. I do think it is a matter of public policy as to how we're going to raise our children and what relationship or setting in which children are going to be raised that we're going to call normative. And I think it is not necessarily a religious issue because I think there are perfectly sound secular arguments against undertaking this kind of experimentation.
Jonathan Rauch, does government have a role in this?
Yeah, I agree completely with Mr. Nippenberg on that one. But I'd like to note a word he used, which is what relationship is going to be normative. That's the issue. I think the normative relationship in this country should be marriage, not non-marriage, and that's why I think we ought to have gay marriage.
Thanks to you both. Jonathan Rauch, a senior writer for National Journal Magazine, and to Joseph Nippenberg, professor of politics at Oglethorpe University in Atlanta. You can go to the website npr.org to see the op-eds this week or any other week on this feature. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.